at Bletchley Park. I'm standing with James May, who has non-stop... You've been working quite hard, actually.
Well, yes, I have, by my standards. I've been talking to people, looking at things, trying to understand very, very, very complicated electromechanical machines that deal with maths. But, it's all very stimulating, though. It makes you feel a bit of an underachiever, if you're honest.
Yeah, with the geniuses that were... Or the genii, I never know what they're... Walking down the corridors here.
Yes, there's the ghosts of people whose brains were bigger than the buildings they were in. It's just... It's incredible what they came up with. The bit that I found most shocking was with the not the Enigma machine, the next one. I've just forgotten what it was called.
The bomb.
No, not the bomb. The one that the Germans had.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, that one. Tutt and Co. worked out how to decipher the messages coming from it, and then from that they worked out the design of the machine and what it looked like, even though they'd never seen it, and they got it right.
What kind of dreams did these people have to be able to do that?
I don't know, but you wouldn't play cards with them, would you? I mean, it's bloody scary. That level of intellect, but so specifically channeled. Because I don't doubt that they were like all people like that. They sort of couldn't dress themselves properly. Alan Turing was apparently fantastically scruffy.
What was your awareness of Bletchley Park before coming here?
Well, I sort of knew the basic story. I knew what it was. I knew a bit about Alan Turing. I wrote a bit about him in one of my books about 20th century technology. Yeah. So I sort of knew that, but I'd never touched the bits. I'd never actually watched the bomb bits going round and round and listened to the noise and stuff. And it's, I mean, apart from how brilliant it is as a piece of lateral thinking, it's actually a fantastic piece of metalworking as well. I mean, it's a bespoke machine and it's beautiful inside. It's like the engine of a Bugatti. It's... Or better, actually. It's fantastic.
And they were building this at a time when you didn't really have serious equipment lying around. A lot of stuff was salvaged, I guess, from other places. So quite an achievement there.
Well, it seems like, yes, they had a lot of sort of hand-me-downs and casts-off from things like telephone exchanges. Mm. It's electromechanical stuff. That, adding machines, acres of wire. There's something like 12 miles of wire in one bomb machine. And the amount of soldering and crimping, I can't believe they got it right. You'd think in all that, the people making the machine would make a mistake. And presumably you only need one mistake to render it useless. But they worked. It's remarkable, really.
When we knew how to do things with our hands properly.
Well, yes, I'm quite good at soldering, but I wouldn't tackle that. I don't have enough life left, actually.
It looks epic. I'm sure there were a few solderers involved. So tell me what you think about the Turing story itself, because it ends quite tragically.
It does, yes. He was... Well, basically, it's very British, this. Having saved the nation, and therefore civilization, he was gradually stripped of his privileges and his access codes until he sort of... died in misery and slipped into obscurity for many decades. And it's when have people started to become properly aware of Alan Turing's work? I suppose it wasn't until the 90s that he became, you know, that he started to sneak his way into the public conscience, which is absurd, really, because he stopped Britain starving to death.
Exactly. And then there's the whole artificial intelligence, the birth of the programmable computer.
It all starts with him and it starts here. And that's what I was trying to say earlier on, that if you want to get right back to the fundamentals of what computing is, the actual tiny little building blocks of how it works, which is really naught or one or yes or no or left or right or however you want to think about it, if you come here, you will understand that. You may end up knowing what algorithm means, and that is a giant leap forward for, you know, popular understanding of technology. I've almost got it myself.
What are your thoughts over the argument at the moment about whether or not he should have a pardon for his crimes of homosexuality?
Well, I'm not very good on sexual ethics, but it's a bit late, let's be honest. But I think I don't know that it matters, because I think people will accept now that it was just a less enlightened time, and these days, if a gay bloke came in and said, "Hey, I can stop all our shipping being sunk," nobody would go, "But you're gay!" You know? It wouldn't be an issue, presumably. So I think he's long since... Well, to say that he's been forgiven is ridiculous. I don't think most civilised people really held it against him. It was irrelevant to his work. You know, he was brilliant at really going big sums. Big sums was what he was really good at.
Well, we've got lunch inside the wonderful Bletchley Park, the manor itself. What are you going to take away from here today?
Apart from what's in your pockets, which when people weren't keeping an eye on you.
No, a couple of books and some leaflets and some bits of punched tape. And these were, I haven't stolen these. These were given to me as souvenirs. I think mainly I'm going to take away the urge to come back and do the whole tour again, because I've sort of galloped around a bit. There's got a lot of new stuff here. And I'm also going to send them a vacuum cleaner, because the rebuild of the Colossus is being hampered by dust. And the bloke who's doing it, who's also very good at soldering, he's put in a chit. I think it might run like the 1940s here. I don't know. He's put in a request for a vacuum cleaner, but he hasn't got one. I think that's ridiculous in this day and age, so I'll go home and order one for him on the internet, a privilege I enjoy ultimately because of the work that was done here originally. So he can benefit from it. I'll buy him a vacuum cleaner.
That's fantastic. You've just given me a really good idea. Maybe I'll get together. We have a geek meet here once a month called Station X, and maybe we will build some kind of wish list for things like that, where people can, instead of give money, buy or donate equipment.
Yeah. Well, I expect in the massive cerebral pursuit that is rebuilding early computational machines, things like vacuum cleaners and knives and forks, tea mugs and kettles are probably overlooked. So yeah, I think buy Bletchley Park a teapot. It makes a difference.
Thank you so much. Mr. James May on Twitter, I believe.
Mr. James May all joined up, yes.
Thanks a lot.
That's actually me, yeah.